mother left me 2 or 3 years ago. I forget just when now. I mean, I think a while, but it's been a couple 3 years. She died in Hobbs, New Mexico. But when this brother was singing, it made me think of an old song. I don't even know all of it, but I just felt, I don't know, he just made me feel good, that's all. I'm like Jimmy over here. I asked him, how's he feeling? He said, real good. I said, well, it won't be long then, and you'll be able to tell folks, don't ask me that. I've been feeling good so long, ain't no use asking me that. I just feel good every time I see you, you know. You can just get feeling good, and when you feel good. But Mama sang a song, Naaman, oh Naaman, go down by the stream, go down, go wash in that stream. And it brought back the old time singing. Doc Cobb used to have his nurse bring him to the Blanchard camp meeting, park out in the dark. He is a great old doctor. Yes, sir. But he said, I love to hear him sing. You know, we couldn't even read the notes. But there's something about touching the Lord with your singing. It just does something to people. It's unexplainable. It's unexplainable. We just enjoyed hearing that brother sing. He sang in 3 or 4 meetings I've held in this country, and I just enjoy hearing him sing. I may sing a little myself after a while. I seen Terry tore the guitar up, but it looked like he fixed it back. I won't say a word or two about Terry. There ain't gonna nobody talk about him much. My boy's named Terry. One of my boys is named Terry. But is anything he can't play or blow? Or I'd be afraid to handle him. Like a boy down home could take 2 tablespoons between his fingers and just beat time on it. I'd be afraid to hand him to him if I didn't think he'd play them. Terry's got lots of talent. He's got as much talent as anybody I've nearly ever seen. He's got a tender heart and believes in the power of God. But it's great to be here with you. In a little while, and maybe not long, I may do like Balaam did. He said, if it displeases thee, I will get me back from whence I came. Now, I'm in a pickle here, if that's what I'm in. I've heard that said. I don't know what that means, though. But it seems like the same thing being in a jam, in a way. I've been going home about 3 weeks, and that's no record. Great God, if you called of God to preach, you just well take your sign down if you ain't willing to hub it. If you ain't willing to hit it. Yes, sir. We're supposed to be men of God. You know, if a colored bishop died in our country, and his millionaires on that platform, Senator Bob Kerr's boys was up there. And Bob had a telegram laying on the pulpit that said, don't put Coy in the ground till I get there. And Coy was a black bishop. There's 23 speakers at that funeral. You know, I kind of like the way the colored people run that funeral. They didn't pay no attention to funeral directors. Airplanes, times you're supposed to get on, when you're supposed to catch a bus, or nothing. Their bishop was laying there, and they just told them funeral directors, we'll call you back when we want you back. I never did like one of them told. Now listen, I'm not again funeral directors. We got some of the best in the world right here in Virginia and Oklahoma. Do you understand that? All right. But you know, I had a funeral one time, and the funeral director said, make it short. I say, you getting paid for this? I ain't. I'm here because I love them. I'm here because I'm interested in them. I'm here because I want to help them. You're here to get paid for your service. I had a funeral after that, and the wife of the fellow that is dead, she is a bit wicked woman, said, make it short, Preacher Moore. I said, his dad is a preacher. His people come for miles. The building's full and the yard's full, and they got a PA set up out there, girl. I said, I'll do the best I can for you, but there's no way I can get up there and just turn it on and off when a man of God's son is laying here, and they called me to have this funeral. You know what? I tell you, such things, loving people and caring for people And you're not just out for what you can get out of them. You know what? I looked around tonight for my enemies, and I ain't been able to find a one in here. There's sometimes when a preacher preaches, people say, well, he knows what I've done. You'd be surprised at times he don't know what you've done. I didn't come up. Listen, I'm loaded when I come. I know enough gossip to take me and you days to talk about in one church. I traveled 45 years, 2 million miles, 17 new cars and a bunch of oil and a bunch of them airplanes. So, we're not here to try to dig up anything new. I don't think I could hear anything new about the way humans do. So I ain't got it in for you. I want to help you. But you know what? We're in the end time. And if ever was a time when a man or woman needs to make the move, it's now. Children, I'm talking to you. The reason we're in the computer age where you can just give it that and dig up a fellow that's on a 747 landing in Ethiopia or Africa. We can tell you what seat he's riding in, what his name is, what plane he's on, how long he's been gone, and when they expect him. It won't be much of a trick for the beast that rules the world to have his worldwide computer system. Who is L.D. Moore? He lives out from Norman, Oklahoma. They can get that back in just a few seconds. Tell you just where I live and whether I'm in the program or not. You know, one day the IRS tried to get after a boy in the church, and I went in to stand for him. And that fellow said, are you incorporated? I said, I don't know. I just took this church, oldest church in the town. Been here since 29, pulled a book that thick, that wide, and that long. You didn't know they had it? I didn't either. What's your name? What's the name of your church? Flip, flip, flip down through the Pentecostals, the Free Holiness, Free Pentecostals, Independent Pentecostals. He said, you're not in here. I didn't know they'd put them in there. We wasn't in there. We have a beast power rising now that's going to use the number system. We can see it more and more, can't we? Be handier to have one number than it would a telephone number and a social security number and a car tag number and a house number and an apartment number. Be simpler to have one. And be simpler yet to feed us all into that and say, he's not in here, take his head off. I'm not trying to establish when or when the Lord will come tonight, but he calls us all. Both small and great, as many as would not receive the number or the mark, they should be killed. Somebody's going to get killed for it. I want to be gone if I can. But the computer system is controlling the world at large just about now. And after a while, we'll have one monetary system. Amen. Price of gasoline here be the same price in Africa. Price of loaf of bread there be the same price it is here. Stay with me, it's old LD from 1988, and the Japs have us back to the wall financially now. Why, no wonder a country that might be able to think they could whip you easy without firing a shot at you would be willing to do away with some of their guns if they knew they already had you on your knees. They might save all these concrete jungles and have it when they get here and not have to blow it up. Don't want to shake you up, but it's time to get up and do something. We're in the end time. We are in the end time when you can die with Mary's eye, Jack's kidney, and Joe's heart in you. That's wise. That's knowledge being increased. My grandpa was an upright man, a sincere man, a man of his word, but he couldn't even drive a car. And I myself, as young as I am, have come from the age of no electricity to things that spit far belt smoke and go to the moon. Amen. We are in the end time. We are in the end time. Amen. You don't have to bomb a country out if you attach it to death. Jump on its back when it's down. March in. When I was 19 years old, I saw a country invaded. They came up a peninsula like Florida out in the water. They wore drab green suits, not camouflage, drab green. When I told that one place, I didn't tell it for years and years, an old colored man by the name of Brown, you know him right here. He's been in Washington and been in that service up there, Secret Service somewhere. I don't know what all he's in. It shook him up. He brought me two books you can't buy. One had the Russian army on it, and the other had the Chinese army. Brother Moore, does that Chinese army look anything like the bunch you saw? I said, they look exactly like the bunch I saw. But the bunch that invaded the country they were invading had no guns. They didn't need any. They didn't have to have guns. If you buy enough country here, enough land here, and have enough deeds to country here, if you buy it under another name. You know, I travel and I notice that the Indians from India are buying all of the second-rate motels. Challenge men know what I'm talking about. They own just about all of them. Well, if you buy enough of eastern Oklahoma's timberland up, the Japanese folks just bought 40 acres out by Norman and said they'd give us 5,000 new jobs. Yeah, and I said, you're going to take 25,000 away. Are we so dumb, or is it the fulfilling of the Bible that we will put the majority of our factories overseas and pay foreigners to make what you wear and what you drive? Huh? Brother Moore, now you're supposed to preach the Bible. I am. We're in the end time. And these signs are all around us. And we're just like blind folks in America. Don't seem like we can see what's happening to us. If they buy enough of our country, they don't have to fight us. They own us. Is that right or not?
Right.
It's happening. Don't tell me it ain't happening. It's happening everywhere.
Right.
I'm not going to preach on that. I've got a message an hour and a half long. I don't think my throat would even stand up for it. And I thought, the Lord wanted me to preach that tonight, but I'm not going to preach it. I'm just going to talk about a real simple thought here that I looked at a while ago, and I want to talk about it. But I want to say we are so happy to be in the service. Seemed like the best part of the service started out right at the beginning. I wish we could have went on that a while. Seemed like to me the Lord was dealing. And I'm not saying he's left this meeting, but it's a pleasure to be with the brethren. The best friends I have are preachers. I have met a few preachers in life that seemed to, the preachers they couldn't cooperate with, but they're the best friends I have. I'm not looking for an opportunity to copy all you folks' names and addresses off the checks you put in the offering so I can call you back and write you and keep in touch with you and come and visit you. I just want to stand good with the preacher, brother, that's called of God, that fear God, and keeping these church doors open and trying to do something for the Lord. That's the way I do it, and that's the way I've been doing it all my life. Good to see Bob and Sister Thelma here tonight. I told Don she is more spiritual than he was, and there was no doubt about it. And he agreed with that, and that's just the way it is, Don. She's pretty spiritual. Maybe more spiritual than I am now, for that matter. But we were in their home today, and they wanted us to pray for it. And you know, when I went to prayer, the Lord rebuked me. Now, I'm not saying it'll be all the way, but it is right now. I began to try to ask God to help her, and he said, I've already heard the cries and prayers of these people that's praying for this woman. I have already heard the cries and the prayers and saw the tears of the people that's praying for this woman. And you thank me for hearing those prayers, and you worship me for blessing this woman, and you praise me for helping this woman. You know, I kind of got rebuked trying to pray. Just like I went to pray for that fellow had the girl with the polio, and my knees hit the floor, and the power of God jerked me up and said, I've already heard him, and I've already answered. Thank God. You're not like that fellow down home, talked in tongues nearly every time he prayed and sought the Holy Ghost for 6 or 8 months. We like to never. I thought, when in the world are you ever going to admit you've got it? I'm not talking to you, Thelma, but I'm just telling you about that fellow talking tongues all the time, kept us wore out praying for him to get the Holy Ghost. It disgusted me. If you're ever going to speak in other tongues, like, claim it. Don't wear us out. I'm trying to get you to claim it. Hallelujah!
Come on
now. Brother, I wish you'd been here last night. A priest don't do you mean it. Got you close, I had to pray myself. Hallelujah. Amen! But I'm going to preach on such a simple thought tonight, it won't take me 15 minutes to get through with it. But the Lord, I feel, is changing. Tomorrow night, I might preach on what I was going to preach on tonight. What was it, Brother Moore? He knew better. But I ain't going to preach on it. I ain't going to do it.
When I was a sinner, the people did say, "You want to go to heaven, you'll have to pray." I asked my Lord, "What must I do?" Thought my heart would break in two. Jesus said, "If you go, I'll go with you. Preach the gospel and I'll preach with you. Lord, if I go, will you tell me what to say? They won't believe on me. Hands were tied and my feet were bound. Elements opened and the Lord came down. I heard His voice and it sounded sweet. His love run down to the sole of my feet." I said, "Lord, if I go, you go with me. Preach the gospel and you preach with me. Lord, if I go, tell me what to say. They won't believe on me." When I was a sinner, the people did say, "If you want to go to heaven, you'll have to pray." I asked my Lord, "What must I do?" Thought my heart would break in two. Jesus said, "If you go, I'll go with you. Preach the gospel and I'll preach with you. Lord, if I go, tell me what to say. They won't believe on me." Hands were tied and my feet were bound. Elements opened and the Lord came down. I heard His voice and it sounded so sweet. His love run down to the sole of my feet. That don't cost nothing. It don't hurt nothing. And it'll just help you out if you do it when you feel like. Shout. Great God, shout. Them Israelites shouted, and it scared the enemy. They said, "God's in amongst that bunch. Power of God's in that bunch. And they've got God with them." Aren't you glad for the power of God? I believe in it. I've always been a strong believer in things you can't see. Ever since as a little boy, and the tornadoes rolled up the railroad tracks in Oklahoma and sucked the wells dry. Never no more water in them. No telling how far back. But I know there's something riding in the wind. There it is, shaking the tree. God Almighty. Hallelujah. He's as real as a pain. Amen. He's as real as a thought. He's as real as love. And you can't see any of them. God is real. Come down the road the other day traveling across the country. And simple, it's just simple. That's the only kind of preaching I do. But the Lord said, "Look unto me. Look unto me." You know what's wrong now? People's looking the wrong way. They're looking the wrong way. They're not looking to the Lord. They're looking at one another. They're looking at circumstances. They're looking at events, but they're not looking to God. It takes a little while to get out of Virginia. It takes a while to get out of Oklahoma. It takes a while to get out of where you at, where you can actually look away from the cross to the glittering crown. And the book of Isaiah, the 45th chapter, the Bible's talking to us in the 22nd verse. "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." And I'm just looking anywhere else. "Look unto me, and be ye saved." I've waited on some folks for many, many years. I've watched them and prayed for them and worked with them, trying to get them to look at the right thing. You get with folks that's got the right vision and look in the right direction, they talk about the right thing. Amen. They'll bless you with what they say and do because they're looking right. We need to look unto the Lord. That's the reason David said, "I will lift mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made the heavens and the earth." You'll never do any good in life if all you can do is look at one another. You'll never do any good in life if all you can do is look at how heavy your burden is. You'll never do any good in life if you just look at self and pity me, and I've got it worse than anyone else. It's when our friends in Oklahoma and across the country, in Missouri, just come out of three meetings in Missouri. One night, that little girl that had the headache for 5 years, I say little girl, she's got three children, but she's made way younger. I'm old enough to be her father. 5 years, she took stuff every day for the headache. Couldn't get rid of it. 5 years, every day she took something for the headache. And one night of simple prayer, we looked away from the cross to the glittering crown. We lifted our eyes away from the circumstances there and prayed for God to heal her. You know what? The next night I said, "Did you have a headache today?" She said, "I ain't had no headache today." I said, "Did you take anything for it?" She said, "I ain't took nothing today." 3 days later, did you have a headache? They ain't got it. Went on down the country and held a meeting of a fellow called Charles Barnett. And here she comes. And 3 months later, I said, have you had the headache? She said, I ain't had the headache since that night. Look unto me. Nobody else can say it. Nobody else has the authority to say it. Devil ain't even got nerve enough to say that. Look unto me and be ye saved. Go to church. Be baptized in water. Start paying your tithes. Try to straighten out and can't do no better. But if you look to God, you can get straightened out. Met a drunkard today. He lives in your town. I met him in a place where I was having my car worked on. He ain't but about 45, but he looks 65. I'll assure you, I could outrun him, outjump him, and whoop him. You know, the devil makes folks think he got it good, but you got it bad. Huh? Well, we got it bad, all right. Sin's wrong, all right. Preach against evil, against ungodliness. Tell folks what to do to them. They won't believe it. Hurt breaks out. And AIDS breaks out. And now we got another kind of AIDS. They're afraid it's going to break out. Look unto me and be ye saved. All ye ends of the earth. From the deepest part of the ocean and the submarine. From the highest flying a machine kind of put a man on the moon, or from the highest flying plane. Look unto me and be ye saved. God Almighty is howling upon the eardrum of the shipwrecked human family that can't correct their course and can't quit the meanness and can't quit the dope and can't quit the tobacco and all the evil. He said, look unto me and be ye saved. If you're a sinner here tonight, I hope you'll decide to quit looking around. And just decide, I will arise and go to Jesus. I will confess my sin to the Lord. You know what's the matter with our country? Sin. Sin. That's the plague of America. It's sin. We need to get rid of it. And there's just one way to do it. And that's look under God. I've sworn by myself. The word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness. And shall not return. That unto me every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall swear, whether you want to or not, you're fixing to. So you better look to God before the day comes when every knee bows, whether it wants to bow or not, and every tongue confesses. I'm going to tell you what. People have said to know God. People have cursed God. People have cursed the sun, moon, and stars, and the wind, like my poor relatives used to do that farm when they had a bad time. They'd curse the wind and curse the sun. But I'm going to tell you, after a while, everybody's blasphemed God. Everybody's stuck their tongue out at God. They're going to confess. They see Jesus Christ coming in the cloud of glory. With God and the holy angel with him. Every tongue's going to, every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess. You need to look to God tonight. Look to God tonight. You know why you can't see no good? You look in the wrong way. Amen. You know why you can't get no better? You look in the wrong way. Amen. Amen. You remember those fellows in the New Testament that said, look on us. How the old boy thought he'd get a good offering from them because he said it. But that ain't the reason he said it. He was trying to get his eyes off of things that didn't amount to a thing and get his eyes on the Lord. Preacher, brother, I've had 9 churches. Never was success in any of them. I was wanting to be, though. I meant to be a great success, but I never have been. I wanted to make a good singer, and I was praying after I heard G.W. Bird's song and his brother sang, and before he ever married, I knowed him a while. And I heard him singing, and I got down to pray, and I prayed one of my famous prayers. I got, God, bless me to sing. I want to sing. Please help me to sing. God said, I didn't call you to sing. I called you to preach. Didn't tell me I couldn't try to sing, but that ain't what he called me to do. He called me to preach, Bob. He didn't call me to sing. I'm glad you looked right. You got to look right. I mean, you got to look the right direction. Some folks ain't going to get nowhere. Let's turn that head around. Amen. They never will be able to praise God. Let's turn that head around. I passed a church one time, and there's folks that always, before they raise a hand, I don't know why in the world called them to do it, but there's a certain person in that church, if they wasn't moving, they wouldn't move. And the power of God could be falling great sheets and waves all over. And if so-and-so wasn't, they wasn't. And if they was, they was. She's moving now. Go ahead. He's praising his hands. Let's raise our hands. Are you getting worth that? Come on. Look unto the Lord.
Woo, that's right. Come on. Yeah.
You want to be spiritual? Look to God. Huh? You can't look at each other. You can't look at the people that's making all these mistakes and all these problems. You got to look to God. It's hard to keep a good man down if he'll look to God. If you're looking at the wrong thing, that's what's got you hoodooed. Huh? We call it hogtied down home. That's what's got your horn swaggled. I know some words, of course, I've heard these big educated preachers. I know some they don't know nothing about myself. They ain't no better off than I am. They say big words. I say that horn swaggled. You never heard that. Look to God. If you just get five or six folks out of this audience right here that'll just spend their time looking to God, looking in the right direction, just holding on. They don't tell them what's liable to happen around here. What are you looking at, sinner? It's easy to look at a lot of things. I know people that didn't get to church for years because they're looking at somebody. They ain't going to get you nowhere. And God said, I sworn by myself because there's no greater that unto me every knee shall bow. The Lord wants to save, and that's what God sent his son here to do, and he wants you to look to him. That's the reason Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I don't mean that just spiritual. I believe you can get physical rest out of that. Amen. I believe that. I do. I knew about that colored mother that had them bunch of children, had old boy try to find the tight boards on the porch to get up there at night, keep from waking mom up. Mom would always, that you, son? It's 2 a.m. He's a bad sinner, and he'd try to look for them tight boards. Maybe you wasn't raised poor like we was. We couldn't put a new porch down either. We just had to kind of walk on the tight board. But he'd hit one of them old loose boards. All them children got to go into a meeting up the road and got saved. And he said, I'd stomp up on that porch at 2 a.m. I hollered, Mama, open the door, like they never woke her up after they all got saved. You get to look into Jesus just right, and you'll find rest, thank God. I looked at your poor drunkard in this town today, and he's been in jail every week. I tried to get him to come to me. That's a bad road. That's a bad road. You can take it for a while and think you're having a big time, but boys, Pete Miller's who I worked for. Years ago when I was a boy, Pete got to drinking booze, had a good business. I worked for him when I was 14 years old. And I myself as a young boy saw a man, a successful businessman, begin to drink. He lost his wife. He lost his boys. Had a car wreck and lost one leg. Stayed on the water wagon about 6 months, had a car wreck and lost the other leg. And what Pete done? He said, I've had enough of it. Away with what the world calls a good time. Away with this foolishness. It's time for Pete to straighten out. He's lost his boys and he's lost his wife. Listen, boy, if you're here tonight and you're a sinner, that's a dead end street. That's a dead end street you're on. Some night, someday, devil catch you just right and wipe you out or cripple you. Get you like that fella today. He couldn't think long enough, hard talk to me, and I asked Mr. whatever his name is on the place right over here at garage. I said, who is that fella? He walked out finally. Well, mister, he said, he's a fella that gets arrested about 3 times a week for drinking, and said he's on that booze, his mind right now, just a coming and going. Look away. Look away. Look unto me and be saved. You don't make, if you're so poor, you can't hardly buy yourself a hamburger. Maybe you're so poor you don't have just a pair of overalls. I don't know. I had a vision at home before I left. And I went up into Culpeper and preached a meeting. And at a good meeting, as a woman got saved up there, if you're a sinner, you can get saved. She is 50 at least. Second time she ever been to Holy Church, never been saved in her life. I'm telling you, she prayed till she shouted. That woman prayed till she shouted and danced. An old 70-year-old man just slipped across the head, all his hair gone, bless his heart. He got saved in that meeting. Another woman about 45, 50 got saved in that meeting. Now listen, I had a vision home and elk pray in Oklahoma 3 weeks ago. I seen a man in overalls. I don't use to tell beer, none of them. They find out later I'm not publishing vision. And I just tell them if I have them, because I think it might edify somebody. And you know, up there, I said, L.D., where's that man in overalls? Is a man in overalls here in your church? Wears him quite a bit. I said, I don't know, L.D. And my L.D., he's L.D. That man got saved. I said, does he wear overalls? I said, no, he don't wear overalls.
And I come by here. I was sick when I got here. I was supposed to be in Dayton, Ohio, Saturday and Sunday. I couldn't make it. I went longer up there. And I come into David's house. My old buddy stayed with him on and off now for years and years and years. So it seemed like the room's mine over there. It ain't so, is it? But it just seemed like it is, you know. Putting your bowl up, say, there ain't nobody in there. You had to get them out. That's where I say. You know, I can't say that. That wouldn't be right. You just get to where you just get to be a part of folks nearly. But when I come in, sit down, been there 30 minutes, and Philip walked in the door with them overalls. I said, that's the man right there. And I've done had a talk with him since I've been here, Brad. But that's the sign the Lord gave me to stay here. I knew that when I see you. That wasn't all. Me and Philip had a little talk about the things of the Lord, things that's beneficial to the Lord's work. But since then, after seeing him with them overalls, I had an impression about another man that lives in this country that wears overalls. That wires over. The Lord touched me about it. Look unto me and be his saved. There ain't no use of being lost. There ain't no use of going to hell. It's bad enough to work hard in the mines. It's bad enough to work hard in all the fields of Oklahoma. It's bad enough to sweat and your back hurt. The only reason we didn't go to a doctor in Oklahoma and I raised so we didn't have no money to go, glory to God. We didn't know God. We just soaked it in kerosene or coal oil or something, you know. Just wrapped it in poultices. We got the itch. We just put that old sulfur and grease on. We didn't have no money to buy nothing fancy. Boil poke root and get in it, and you'll scream like a painter. You'll either be cured or it'll kill you. I mean, that's the way I'd raise. It's terrible to go through here and suffer and go through heartache and work. Not every sinner's a man that won't feed his children. No. They work hard and do feed them, a lot of them. But oh, to die lost and be lost forever and join that crowd that makes those pitiful sounds from the world beyond. It's not fair to yourself not to be saved. That lying devil told people you get saved, you can't have an income and it'll ruin you on your job and it'll mess you up on your job. It won't do no such a stuff. I come up with the roughest in Oklahoma, the roughnecks in oil fields, and on the roughest men down there. I come up with them. I got saved right in the middle of it, welded an oil field, a mechanic, working amongst them rough men. They pulled my back pocket full of water when I get me a drink at the fountain. I just poured theirs full if they got one. They squirt. We got in them squirt can fights with that oil, and they'd squirt all over me. I was a preacher man, young preacher. That old foreman had cussed, and they was on me. But he said, pardon me, Lester. I forgot about you standing there. You can be saved. You can be saved and live for God right amongst them, thank God. You can have religion and have a good job. I have a banker friend, got the Holy Ghost stand far. He's as good a banker as I ever seen. His bank was inspected the other day. They went through, the auditors went through there, and they give him the highest grade you can give a bank. Why? Because he fears God and looks to the Lord. Why don't you look to God a while? Oh, that will get you out there. I prayed for a fellow in Oklahoma City, had him in the isolation ward. And I went in to a colored boy met me and said, I see here you as a preacher. And said, I want to set you in this room, bring this man to you. I don't know how he knowed I was a preacher. He wrapped that robe around me so I wouldn't catch supposed to whatever he had. Brought that man in and set him down. I said, you need to be saved. They're going to take your voice box out and you can't talk no more. He said, I can't pray. He could talk about everything. I've mentioned this, but I want to tell a few sinners. And he couldn't pray, he said. Well, I went back the next day and going to take his voice box out. Larry sat on the bed and his kin folks were gathered all around. Some of them were church people, went to church. Some of them saved. I don't know how many. So it didn't hardly look like it or talk like it. They said they were. But the wind was up about that high. And I didn't know hardly what to do. I was trying to get him saved. And I felt a gush of fresh air go in under that window. And it just swept over me. I felt the power of God went over me. Just like the Spirit breathed on me. And I said, Mr. Clayton, you need to give your heart to God. You need to get saved. He bowed his head and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He wept
and God saved him. He said, get a tape recorder and let's tape it and tell my children what's happened to me. If, when I lose my voice, I'll have it recorded that I got saved. Listen, you can get saved. You can get saved. I don't know why the devil makes that. Folks think that's hardest. Climbing Mount Everest to get saved. It's not. And you can live for God after you get saved. When I got saved that night in that altar, 838 Southeast 29th Street in Oklahoma City, I didn't know about religion. I was as green as a gourd. I went back to that man I worked. I'd done in my heart, give the job up. I said, I'll never be able to work there no more. I've lied. I've not done right. The men shooting dice when they come work next morning, bootleg whiskey out of the next to us, fellow park, and take his calls over our phone, bootleg. And I said, I can't work no more. So next morning, I went back, and I looked at my old sinful boss, and I said, well, I just couldn't hardly get her said, I'll tell you. I just, a week in the Lord, just got saved. I said, well, I've come to tell you that I'll have to quit you, I guess. I said, I got saved last night in the church house. He said, you did. He said, stay with it, honey. Hang in there with it, boy. Don't give it up. Why, what think about pardoning? Turn the whole thing over to me. Pray God have mercy. I said, you probably won't need me. Next time you tell me to tell your wife you went that way, when you went that way, I can't do it no more. Can't hold up for you no more on it. I'll try not to get you in trouble, but I ain't lying for you no more. No, sir. Felt just like I did when I went to work for Mr. Thor Express and bent over to pick up a package that had Lucky Strikes on it. Back trouble. I ain't never had it in my life. Never had back trouble in my life. Spirit hit me. I'm just talking about new Christians. Yeah. I have no spiritual. Now listen, I want to talk to you, Roger. You got your eyes on the right thing. Well, I thank God. If you don't, you'll go under. Your church is going to stay afloat if you keep your eyes in the right place. Because there's going to be somebody coming through the door. You don't need to look at them. You just need to keep looking up. Come on. Yeah. You can't even look around when you're worshiping God a lot of times now. Yeah. There's so many out. Yes, there's so many cold. Yes, there's so many lukewarm. If you look around, you'll be lukewarm. You go out. You stop. You won't. Well, look unto me and be ye saved. You can get saved looking to God. It don't matter who kneels beside you. It don't matter how much is being said behind you in front of you. You look to God, you get saved. Would you like to be saved tonight? What'd you say, Brother Moore? You like that old man out there in Oklahoma? He said, Brother Moore, my letters are in the drawer. I said, I ain't talking about a letter. I don't know if you're saved or not. Next night I went back to him and said, I've got my letter in the drawer. Let it fly. I don't want a letter. I want to know if you're born again. Went back a year later, hit the floor the first thing the service started. Brother Moore prayed through. I got saved. Got my name in the book of life. I'm right with God. Do you know you've got religion tonight? Do you know that God has saved you? Do you know you're right with God? Look away to the Lord. Look to God. You know, I made a mistake a few times in life looking the wrong direction. I mean, we got in a jam and we needed help and needed something, needed things. I didn't look to God like I should. I looked to man. That'll get you in trouble. Amen. You can walk and talk with God and live right amongst sinner people. I worked in that oil field shop. I tried to make a foreman in there and the Lord put me out of there. But you know what? To this day, I'm an older man now. I wish I was a way younger. I'd do a lot different than I've done. I mean, I'd turn it on for the Lord. A few things I've let slow me down, preacher, brother, and I wouldn't have never let up on the gas. I'd have never let up on the gas. But them old men that's old in that oil field, many of them dead, they meet to this day. Lester, what are you doing? Are you still preaching? Yeah, I said, hang with it, boy. And then pray for us. And them still lost lots of them. You can have it if you want it. Yes, sir. You can be saved and go home happy. Yes, sir. Thank God you can go home. Your wife will just about shout. She'll do like old Caldwell's wife did. Been drunk 6 months, got saved in the meeting, finally got saved. Prayed to God, went home. 4 days later, she'd come with him to the meeting. When the door opened, that gray-headed woman threw her arms in the air and run as hard as she could run for the altar with tears running off her face. You didn't have to make an altar call for her. That old moonshine boot-legging line thing had got saved. And she got saved too. You'd be surprised at the little children like see Daddy get saved.
You'd be surprised at the wives tonight. I had a meeting a while back, and a young lady about 30, 28 or 30 said in my audience, and she's just sad. I said, what's the matter? Well, she said, it's mean thing. You'd be surprised while you sat here, happy Christian tonight, how many there is out there. They're taking shots, they're taking pills, they're going to psychiatrists, they don't know how in the world to get out of it or what to do. Their man is mean as a snake to them. Vice versa, works both ways. They don't know what in the world to get saved. Get saved. We had a fellow right here in this camp meeting one time. I preached in Ohio. He hid his wife's shoes every night. They said, I'm preaching on, look unto me. I don't care what the circumstances is. Give it around. Seek God. Pray to the Lord. I challenge you to do it. Make a change. He hid that woman's shoes every night they had church. And a sister would come pick her up and bring shoes for her. When she come home, he had her locked out. She'd sat on the front porch, hoping nobody'd see her in the swing till 2 and 3 in the morning. Because of that old hard-hearted, unsaved sinner man. Well, it'd have been easier to tell him, I'm going to leave you. But she knew he'd go to hell. She knew he'd die lost. She held on. I've been in meeting after meeting with him. When that old boy'd stand and say, thank God I got saved. She got it. She prayed for me. I got saved. Have a church where there's an old boy. Every time you have revival, you pick that little skinny woman up and run around the inside of the building with her. Why? He'd come in 2 or 3 in the morning from that coon hunt and drunk as a hoot owl. I don't know how drunk a hoot owl gets. I've heard him say that. Did you ever see a drunk hoot owl? I'm going to stop saying it because they don't get drunk. I just picked that up. I need them food better. I could quit that and do better. But he run around. She'd get old. He'd make her get up and cook a meal for him slobbering drunks. And you know how a drunk can do. Oh, I ain't going to tell how to do, but it's pitiful how a drunk. And he's like that one over in Oklahoma that had that cardboard plate that pie was in. And the S.O. boy that run that cafe just done it for me and just cut through cardboard and all. Handed that old drunk and he chewed and cussed that cardboard and chewed and swallowed it. And he even said, it's the disgust you'd ever eat. Just, the devil make food out of it. Devil make food. Did you know what I think would be good? I used to be. How many Christians have we got here? Raise them hands, children. How many of you used to be a sinner? Look at it, sinners. You're here. Good chance you can get saved. There's a good chance you can get saved if you look to God. You look to God. You can get saved. Come home a Christian. Come home saved by the power of God. There's nothing does a home good like getting saved. You backslid. I'm going to tell you, you're going to tire your home up. You stay backslid, tire your home up. It's dangerous out there. You have to have God in this world if you keep a peaceful home. You need the Lord. Need the Lord. Are you saved tonight? Have you been born again? I'm not talking about joining a church, putting your name on a church book, signing a roster roll, begin to pay tithes into the church. I mean, have you been born again? Have you prayed through and got saved? It ain't all that hard to do. Devil tries to make folks think it's the hardest thing in the world. But listen, look to the Lord. I want to tell my preacher brother, I had 9 churches and I drove up in front of one day. And I was about to go on to heaven with ulcers and a heart attack and nervous breakdown. I mean, it was all working on. I drove upside that building. I was so loaded with all them people, I couldn't hardly get out of that car. I don't sound smart. But I never get in a meeting with what I get enough requests to keep me up half the night praying about them. It don't load me like it used to. I'm serious about it, but I've learned what to do with it. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. The Lord spoke to me, brethren, you pastors, when I drove up that building. The Lord said to me, do you see that building? Yes, Lord. Do you see those people walking in that building? Yes, Lord. That's my building. These people here, I'm the cause of them coming to this church. This is not your church. Them's not your people. They're mine. And if you can't take it, if you're going to give yourself ulcers and a heart attack and a nervous breakdown over it, I'll bring you on home, but I'll put another one in your place because this work must go on. That's what the Lord told me. Woo! I slipped out of that harness I had on. I got that 2-ton off my back.
And I walked out of that, I walked in the door of that church that morning, ready to preach till I give out. Look. You only get well, Moses said, we're going to put this serpent on a pole. All you rebellious, hard-headed Israelites that wouldn't do the right thing, surely you'll look. If you look, you'll get well. Just look. Huh? You'd be surprised how stubborn humans are. Amen. They're very stubborn. It's human nature a lot of times to be stubborn. I'll do what I want to do. You may be as stubborn as that woman was in the church me and B pastored. It just talked against me to every service and just talked and run me down. It was pitiful. My wife didn't like it. I thought 8 years was a good while to put up with that. I thought that proved that we loved her. But one day B said, Lord, I want you to do something to that woman to wake her up. If she don't quit criticizing the preacher and preachers and the saints, if she don't quit looking at folks and just making hash out of them all the time, never getting paid to, always setting the back, always the thumbs or fingers in her ear, it's so loud, I can't hardly stand it. You can turn the PA off, it's still so loud, you need to turn it off. He's already off. Grumble, gripe, complain, carry on. It's too late, it's too early, it's too hot. They got the wrong song books. I just don't know what all in the world. She's a smart aleck. She's got a new dress on, another one. She thinks she's better than I am. Just anything. The song leader can carry a tune in the toe sack, and I just all the time. B said, Lord, do something to that woman. I didn't know she was praying like that. And she went to the zoo with her children in her old Studebaker car, four door, got out on a little slanted piece of ground, and the back door knocked her down, and every time she tried to get up, it whipped her black and blue from the back of her skull to her heels. Never seen nothing like it in the hospital. Took her to the hospital, and looked like somebody took a big club and beat her from the neck to her heels. Every time she tried to get up, that old car just barely rolling. She'd hang onto the back door. You know what B said? I'm glad she ain't here. She'd be rebuking me right now from the audience, but don't say it, Ellie. B said, it's God. I'm preaching on, look unto me. I don't know, church folks, I've met looking at the wrong thing. You know, the best way in the world to get discouraged is look at people, because you're going to look at one discouraged in a minute. Amen. You're going to be blue too. Before I got saved, I didn't look to God. I don't know nothing about God. I know nothing about the Bible. I know nothing about family prayer, nothing else. And I used to stand in the back door at 912 Southeast 29th Street in Oklahoma City and sing, trouble in mind, I'm blue, but it won't be blue always. Sun is going to shine in my back door someday. It did. I wish I had the song I wrote off of that after I got saved. But if you don't look to God, your days is blue. Daddy was in the hospital 6 months. My brother's in the hospital. When Christmas comes, we didn't have no money to buy nothing, and I wore shoes so big I could stop and still be a-going after I got stopped. You trying to figure that out, ain't you, Don? They're so big my feet slid in them after the shoes stopped. Woo! I wore britches because they're way too big. We're sad. Sad as a black night. Mama wasn't saved. We knew nothing about God. But you know, I'd sang that old song, Sun's Gonna Shine, little realizing that one night I would pray and come home as light as a feather and free as a bird. I put the home to spinning. We all went to show on Friday night to see that Searle. You all ever go see them Searles? That's a continued deal, you know. They were born the horses right on the edge of the canyon, fixing to fall in the Colorado River right there below him.
It just looked like it's gone, and then they shut it off, so next time you'll come back and see what happened to it. What were called Searles in them days. Every Friday night, the whole family went. But I looked to God one night, took me 3 nights, and got saved. And I was happy, didn't know what to do with myself, and they didn't know what to do with me. They actually thought there's something wrong with me. The Army put me in 4F because they thought it was crazy. Then they transferred me to 5A and 3A and 2A and 1A. And five times they transferred me till I wrote them a letter and told them what I was doing. They left me alone. I was preaching everywhere. But you know what? Friday night come, and I swallowed hard, and I thought, well, what am I going to tell them here? I don't know nothing about religion. Green as a gourd about it. I don't know. I just looked to the Lord, got saved. And you know, I said, well, I can't go to the show. Ain't nobody told me nothing about the show, but something said you can't go to the show. And I don't want to go nohow. I know that I woke up. I seen it just getting my money, and I wasn't getting nothing out of it. I broke up the family show night. I'm just talking all about looking to the Lord. And Mama quit cutting her hair, and I never said nothing to her about it. I didn't know nothing about holy doctrine, holy rollers, or nothing. And she just quit cutting her hair. Mama, my mother, said, I'll just not cut my hair anymore. And you know she never bought no more rouge, no more makeup, my mother. Out of respect for her son. Dad said, you'll starve to death preaching. He's afraid I wouldn't be able to live a preaching. So he said, son, you'll starve. You have to work. Well, I wasn't too lazy to work. I've worked ever since I've been a preacher. Worked high as 36 hours at a time. That's pretty good licking. You know what? It's never hurt me, boy, because I look to God. I speak as a fool if you think I'm glowing. I've been in the bank over here with some $1 bills I needed to change over here, right over here somewhere, right over there. And I've been to that other one out there, take them $51 bills and 50 over here. You know, I've done got claimed in the banks, and there ain't no rejection there. I just tell them, I'm a preacher man in your town. You know what to do? I talked to a lady today. She was smoking when I started. She wished she wasn't. But you know, I talk kind of good to her because she has a soul, and she needs to get saved. Amen. Amen. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all you outlaws, all you liars, all you hypocrites, all you crooks. I'll fix you. He can do it. We've had them down home that dried out, and went and got dried out, and drank, got on it, and got dried out again. But I'm going to tell you what we've got down there. Made one trip to the altar. One trip to the altar. And changed for 30 years. Doctor examined one of them other day. He said, the evidence of this examination proves that you have been an alcoholic. He said, truth, sir. It's been 30 years ago since God saved me and delivered me. It's been 30 years since I've been born. You get it right. You look to God and draw your good bucket of that water out of the well of salvation. Take a good sip of that, boy, and you'll be in great shape. You only get saved? Why don't you try it? Why don't you haul off and do it? Why don't you just say, tonight, I know there's a God. I know I'm going to die. I know there's a heaven. I know there's a hell. I'm going to come to God. I don't care what in here. I'm going to seek God and be saved. Why don't you try it? Old Otis had that moonshine down there. Okay, Oklahoma had that steel right out there in them blackjacks. That sheriff come pumped them pistol shots on each side of Otis. Said, Otis, I'll kill you if you don't stop and get off that horse. Otis just laid over on that saddle, that old horse and neck, and rode out of there. Got away. But old Otis prayed too, 300 pounds. Grabbed his mule with the ear and liked to chew his mule's ear off. Devil gets a bad hold on people. Do you know it? They get mean. Otis got saved. Went in to sheriff, said, I give up. Otis, what's the matter? You got religion? Yes, sir. He said, charge it dismissed, Otis. Go ahead with it. You know most people glad when you get straightened out. They're glad when you get saved. Ain't a police in this town won't fist fight you. Ain't a police in this town won't knock you on the head. Get saved. Don't wait. It's been the best life, boys. 45 years. I speak now. I'm not going by the look. My boys, they'll have to say, my daddy never smoked a cigarette. My daddy never said a cuss word. Why, I've been where it's rough, buddy.
I've laughed at him when it's rough. You don't have to be a sissy because you're saved. Woo! I've been with him when it's tight and it's rough. All I've done is tighter, it got to just laugh. I didn't get a hold of it. Woo! Getting saved don't make a cook out of you. It takes a cook out of you. James, I'm preaching on, look unto me and be ye saved. You can write everybody in the world, look any direction you want to and die and go to hell. We can do what me and you are preaching. We can look to God and come out of it. If I had stomach trouble, I'd come down and get prayed for tonight. If I had the backache, I'd come down here and get... Where's that old boy that had the backache here? You raise your hand. How's your back, buddy? Is it now a whole lot better? Do you mean it? Keep raising that hand like that. Power of God go right down his backbone. He don't have no more problem. Amen? Who are you looking at? What are you looking at? Lord, what does this man do? Jesus said, what is that to thee? You got more to take care of than you can handle right now. I was pastor of this church. You ain't. Quit looking at that. Yeah, you know what? If I was a song leader, if you're not, quit looking at that. Somebody else is. Let them do it. Huh? Why don't you look the right direction? Look right there. Listen, children. Look, it'll stop you if you don't look the right direction. But look to God. I've said quite a lot about this. I didn't plan on talking about it tonight. And actually, I didn't read much about it. I went another way. But I thought the Lord stopped me. You know why I thought he did? Because you're here, and you need to look to God. That woman lay in that hospital down in Oklahoma had blood pressure high. They couldn't handle it. They couldn't do a thing in the world with it. They didn't do nothing with it. Till that old preacher man walked by that man. He walked in there and said, "Sister, what's the matter?" She said, "They can't get my blood pressure down. About to bust the blood vessel in the head. If I give this stroke, about to kill me." He said, "Let's look away. Let's look away." They just prayed a little simple prayer, and that old man went on to another room. I know this happened. The great physician come in checking on his patients, and he said, "Look here, check it." He said, "Your blood pressure's down." I said, "When did this happen? What happened to you? We don't understand this." She said, "It wasn't nothing but a preacher man come in and prayed for me, and God Almighty stopped the storm. He throwed a hold on that and stopped that." That's the same thing happened to Sister Hunt. And they had that wreck, and they had them five children. She got her leg broke away up in here. And I went to see her and McBride Bone and Joint Specialist in Oklahoma City. Bone and Joint Specialist, some of the greatest in America. They're great people. They know the bones and the joints. I don't. All I know is Ezekiel's bone and joint deal. But I went in there. She is hysterical screaming. I said, "Shut up. Shut up. Shut up, Sister Hunt. I can't hear you hardly. Can't make out what you're saying. I can't hardly pray for you because you're hollering and screaming so much. She did. She was in shock, hysterical, but she quit. I'm going to pray for you, and God's going to help you. Prayed for her. Want to pray for her. The Lord said she will walk again. They done told her she couldn't. Said you'll never walk again. Never be able to walk. They're smart. I'm not smart. But when you do like Paul did, when they was out there in that ocean for 14 days and night and couldn't see the sun, moon, and stars, and he looked away from it. And an angel came. God said to me, "She'll walk." And I told her, "Sister Hunt, the Lord's told me you'll walk again." Abram told her she couldn't. But God said she could. And you know what? She walked out of there. Her husband died. A couple years later, she raised that family and washed them clothes and walked them floors and walked the town. You know, if you'll look, there's help for you tonight. What do you need? Are you sick? Why don't you look away to the Lord? You've got a chance at it. If you're lost, why don't you come down here and kneel while we have a song here tonight and get saved? You know why Roger O'Quinn sitting over there is grinning like he does and preaches like he does? He's having the best time he ever had in his life. If I ever seen anybody could get just almost on the verge of too happy, he can sometimes. But I don't believe he's reached that yet. But he just gets so happy, so a person here say he's too happy. But he never got there. But I mean, he just gets ferociously happy because he got saved. He don't smoke no more pot. Don't gamble away his money. So I think he's good looking. He'll put a different atmosphere in the home. We had a little problem for a while till Daddy kept watching me. And I kept preaching. And people come by the house and hand Roy, that's my daddy's name. Leroy was my daddy's name. Leroy Moore. Hand $20 to Daddy and say, give this to L.D. Mr. Moore when he comes in. What? It took him quite a while to make $20. $1.10 an hour is what he's getting. That's high money. And it took him a good while to make 20. And it bring leave a 20 to him to give me. One day he said, remember me in your prayers, huh? Hallelujah. You got family trouble? Look to God. I'm preaching on look unto me. We're looking to everything. Psychiatrists is making great gobs of money. Marriage counselors is...